It is great to be here. It is great to be able to bring this message to you this morning, because I feel like that there are very few things that are as important as paying attention to what's really going on the inside. And this morning, as you can see from the from our screen and the outline on the back of your worship bulletin, and I just noticed something. I don't know what happened. It's probably my fault, but there is no number four this morning. So blank instead of blank, number four is just whatever you choose for it to be. So you can go ahead and fill that one out now. Just whatever you want. But there is no number four. There's just three and three. Don't think I'm skipping over that. But this morning, if you got your Bibles, turn over to Matthew chapter 19, verse 8. That is going to be where we kind of start off. And we're going to talk about something briefly that's kind of a real touchy subject in the church. But rest assured, that's not where we're going with this. It's just a great starting point to make the point of where we're headed. But there's nothing more important than finding out what's really going on inside here. Inside. Because, I mean, you know, there are so many terms, you know, we can just put on a happy face when really on the inside we are just hurting and broken and just, you know, full of all kinds of evil and bad. And, you know, we can fake it until we, make it sort of, or what, but really if we try and find out what's going on in here, we are that much closer to being who God wants us to be. So we're going to start with Matthew chapter 19. And it is an insight into this matter of heart, where we're trying to start and diagnose a spiritual heart disease. Nothing is more dangerous than having heart disease and not knowing it. And so we're going to look for this morning signs of life, whether or not we even have a pulse, whether or not we even are healthy in our spiritual life. And some of the indicators of that are going to be things like, how do you treat other people? Is there an urgency in our evangelism? To what extent do we really want to be holy? Because He is holy. You know, there's vital signs that we look for. What is our prayer life like? What is our devotion time with God like? And when there's a problem in our bodies, it either comes from our heart or it affects our heart. You know, anytime there's a sickness, whether it starts there, the last thing we want is for it to end up there. So let's look at Matthew chapter 19, verse 8. Jesus replied. Now they're talking about divorce. They're asking Jesus, what are the conditions where I can get a divorce? When is it okay for me to get divorced? Jesus replied, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard. But it wasn't this way from the beginning. Now, what's he talking about there? Moses permitted you to divorce because your hearts were hard, but it wasn't that way in the beginning. Is he saying that in the beginning there was no divorce? Well, sort of. But more important than that, Jesus is making a point that's saying, in the beginning, your hearts weren't hard. You see, all of the issues that we have, all of the separation that we have from God, all of the separation anxiety, and that's where the rest of our sin comes from, is this separation anxiety from God. And he's saying all of that stems from the fact that you have hard hearts. You've got heart disease. He's basically, Jesus is saying, divorce is not the issue. Your hearts are the issue. If they were asking him, when is it okay for me to kill somebody? He would say, well, I mean, you know, you can kill people because your hearts are hard. You know, when is it okay for me to do? I mean, everything boils down to this heart disease. You see, here's a time when people are more concerned with the circumstances surrounding their sin than actually addressing why we want to sin in the first place. How often do we find ourselves in that exact same situation? God, help me find a way to sanitize to make this action okay, instead of trying to figure out why do we want to do this in the first place. We're more concerned with circumstances surrounding sin. And Jesus said, it's not the symptom of your sickness. It's not divorce or anger or lust or greed or it isn't any of those things. Those are just the symptoms of the sickness that concerns me. We've got to go deeper. That's why we're commanded. Guard your heart. Be careful what you fall in love with. Be careful what you know, we have a scripture on the screen every Sunday right before we give that says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You know, that isn't saying, okay, watch where you put, you know, are you making deposits here? Are you making deposits there? He's saying, be careful what you fall in love with. Because what you fall in love with is going to determine what kind of life and who you serve. To guard your hearts. So then you must apply stress to your life. Because whenever stress is applied, heart conditions show themselves. I mean, think about this. If you've gone to the doctor for heart issues, what do they do to you? What's the first thing they do? Stress test. Anybody ever had a stress test? Bill's like, had one. I mean, basically what they do, and the gentleman can back me up on this, is they just get you in this room and they have your wife ask you all these questions about, or tell you about plans to go to Hobby Lobby. Or that's what Dan's stress test was. They said, Dan, we got to do a stress test. And so you and Carolyn are going to Hobby Lobby for 4 hours. Dan's like, shut up, Shane. I'm going to kill you. No, they put you on a treadmill. And then they get it going faster. And they put you under stress to find out where your hoses are going to blow and the belts are going to come off and all this stuff is going to go wrong. They put you under stress to find out where the problem is. And see, that's what happens in life, isn't it? We go through life and we just get put under all this stress. And then what happens is where the problem lies, that's where we explode. The sin isn't the problem, it's the heart. For some of us, it just shows up differently. For some, it's, you know, can't get along with people. For some, we can't get along with other people. You know, for some, we consume mass amounts of medicine, whether it's alcohol or prescribed or shopping or money or whatever. See, that's why, stress tests are important. That's what fasting is all about. It's finding out what kind of heart we have. See, fasting is all about finding out what controls you. That's why God wants us to do that, so we have this stress test in a controlled environment. See, when Dan's on that treadmill getting that stress test, or when Chuck's back there getting his stress test, where do they just tell you to go to the gym and get on a treadmill? Chuck, do you have to? They said, oh, you got a treadmill at home? Just get on that sucker and just let her rip. You're in the hospital, aren't you? Because if something goes wrong, they want people to be there in a controlled environment to fix things where the hoses blow and the things, all that. That's why disciplines. That's why the spiritual disciplines are so important. So in controlled spiritual environments, we can find out where the heart disease exists. Because that's the most important thing. If we really want to address the separation from God and not just put on a happy face and pretend that nothing's wrong. Number one killer in America, not other countries, number one killer in America, heart disease, heart attack. Nowhere else. You know why? Because it's a matter of heart. Let me get to my, so I can do it. Because there's specific warning signs. There's specific warning signs to this heart disease. And one of the things that we see mirrored not only in our country, but in the church, the first sign that we have to address is this selfishness instead of serving. It's when life is all about me. And in James chapter 3, turn with me if you've got your Bibles, to James chapter 3, starting in verse 14. He starts at verse 13. He says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it in his good life by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitterness, envy, selfish ambition in your hearts, don't boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil." You see, one of the things about James that's real frustrating, he uses all this vague language, doesn't he? I mean, he really doesn't tell us really a whole lot about selfishness, does he? He just sort of leaves it out. I mean, he's real vague. He says that selfishness is earthly. It's unspiritual. It's of the devil. That's hard for me to understand. I mean, isn't it? He's not real specific, is he? No, he's real specific. He says it's earthly. Selfishness, all about me, you know, personal, the selfie nation that we have become. He says that's earthly, it's unspiritual, it's of the devil. When life is all about me, oh, I'll serve to an extent, but have you ever noticed that even in the church, we'll put limits. I mean, we will put limits as soon as, I mean, we'll serve up to when it really starts to cost. I mean, when it really starts to get uncomfortable. See, we have that line in the sand, don't we? This week, the stress test of service, when it starts to get uncomfortable, when we start to have to cancel my plans to help somebody else, to give someone a ride, to give them money, to inform me. But see, what happens is that when it gets uncomfortable, then we figure out ways to pull back. I'll do this service. I'll help people. But then when I get any backlash, when I get any complaints, when I get anything, oh, I'm out. I'm not going to do that anymore. That was too hard. From the smallest to the largest. When there's selfishness instead of serving. Rejection instead of respecting. You know, this is the idea that I'll put you out instead of treating you like how God would have me be treated. Remember the story that Jesus told about the guy who's knocking on the door? Who's knocking on the door? Says, "Hey, I'm alone. I don't have a place to stay. Can I stay with you?" What's the guy tell him? I can't. I've got all my kids in bed with me already. We're already in the house. We've already got the doors locked. We've already got everything. You know, no, you go figure something out. I'm already taken care of. We would rather put someone out than to change what we have going on. Goes back to point number one. It's all about me. We reject because we feel rejected. Some of the result of this might be that we fight back at times. Some way of fighting back might be withdrawing. It's self-destruction. We might fight back outwardly, and we're hard on other people. I mean, you know those folks. Kind of abrasive. Kind of have a wall up. When anything, you know, when anything gets close, that abrasiveness kind of comes out and keeps people at arm's length. Jesus is saying to us, keep an eye on your immune system. Sometimes our immune system, that which is that we think is protecting us, is actually killing us. Look around. I mean, take inventory this week of the closeness. How close are you? How close are you to the people in your life? How much confiding do you do? And then think, how much confiding is done with you? How much do people come and say, you know, and not necessarily about your area of expertise and saying, you know, I need you to help me with this project, or I need you to help me do this, or I mean, but how much do people come to you and say, man, I just really need to talk. I just really need somebody to listen. I just really need, you know, I know that you care about me, and I just need you to see me. I mean, are we rejecting or are we respecting? And then there's lust instead of loyalty. Mark 7. Turn with me over to Mark 7, chapter 7, verse 21. Mark 7, starting verse 20. When Jesus went out, he comes out of a man. What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. Here's the source of Satan's power in our life. It's that wellspring, that heart. The source of all of Satan's power. What are we allowing him to put into our heart? The problem is this lust versus loyalty is everything that he's talking about is wanting to break a commitment. Immorality, theft, murder, adultery, all of these. Everything about this is about commitment breaking. And he says when this happens, we're becoming polluted. It's what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount when he says, look, you know, you are the salt of the earth. How does the salt lose its saltiness? It becomes polluted. It becomes polluted with everything else. We talked about this on Sunday morning in my Sermon on the Mount class. Is that the only way for salt to not lose its saltiness is to be diluted, be broken up into its components, to be diluted into something bigger than itself, or to be polluted by adding a lot of other things to it. When we are more concerned with breaking commitments than being loyal, we understand there's a heart problem. And it isn't circumstantial. It isn't because, you know, they had it coming. I deserve, you know, the anger, the malice, the greed. It isn't because, well, I deserve this or I deserve it. It's because there's a fundamental heart problem. So where do we go from here? Heart disease has very specific symptoms. And God has a triple bypass plan for each one of us. It's what Hyatt read this morning in Ezekiel chapter 36. He starts out in verse 24, for I will take you out of the nations God is saying there is going to be a fundamental transformation that takes place. That's why He starts this whole thing. I'm going to take you out of what you are involved in. In order to be cleansed, in order to be different, in order to have this heart condition reversed, to have it altered, there has got to be a distinct change from where we are to where we're going. He says, I'm going to take you out of all this. I'm going to take you out from the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back to your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all of your idols. The first thing He says is, I'm going to cleanse you from everything that's ever happened. God says, in a moment, I can make it all go away. I can make that past, that childhood, that young adult life, that whatever. I can make that, that anger issue. I can make that divorce. I can make all of those things go away. I will completely cleanse you from everything that's taken place. The first thing He does is cleanse you from your past. This is not just learning how to manage or cope with sin, but it's learning how to overcome it. And the reality is that in Christ, what He's trying to get across to us, that in Christ, we don't have to feel guilty anymore. See, the part of what hangs on to that heart condition, part of what continues to perpetuate that in our life is that we can't get past things that have happened years ago. Things that we did, things that we didn't do, things that we should have done, what we should have been a part of, what we never should have thought of. God's saying, I'm going to take you out of that and I will cleanse you, past tense, from all of that. And all of the guilt, and all of the self-loathing, all of the not good enough, all of that goes away in an instant. Then He continues to go on. He says, I'll give you a new heart. He says, look, I'm going to cleanse from your past, and I'm going to change you for a new start. See, God's not interested in fixing up the old. What God is interested in is making it brand new. He isn't just going to put a coat of paint on that old heart. He's going to take the old one, get rid of it, and put a new one in its place. Because I'm not trying to fix up what is old. I will give you a new heart. And then He goes on to say, I'm not only going to change you for a new start, but I'm going to fill you with my Spirit. I'll give you a new heart and I'll put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my Spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. See, what God is telling us is He gives us His Spirit. He will teach us how to love if we will ask. You know, one of the things that we talk a lot about is how we treat other people. Whether there's somebody at school or at work or in your life, in your neighborhood, that's just impossible. And when we say our prayers at night, when we say our prayers in the morning, when we say our prayers in the middle of the day, do those prayers ever sound like, Lord, help me to love this person? Not, God, can you make them stop doing that? God, can you fix them? Lord, can you just strike them down with some fire and brimstone? I mean, you know, remember what James and John asked Jesus? You know, hey, can you just bring down some of that good old Sodom and Gomorrah stuff and just get them out of my way? Or do we say, Lord, where they are, help me love them? Because that's what's going to change. God's going to be there. We say, Lord, help me to serve. Help me not to be so bitter about serving. Father, help me to serve even when people don't appreciate it. God, help me to be more of a servant. Because He says, I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit. And if we're praying about that, if we're relying on His Holy Spirit to say, God, help me to love these people. Help me to serve these people, regardless if they say thank you. Regardless if they deserve it. Regardless of any of those things. God, help me to serve. God, help me to commit. Help me to be more committed to my wife. Help me to be more committed to my husband. Help me to be more committed to your church. God, regardless of the circumstances, whether my wife stops doing this or starts doing that, whether my husband picks up his stuff or not, whether he does communicates better or lets me touch the remote, I don't care, Father. Help me to be more committed. Because He's going to give us His Spirit. He's going to give us His Spirit to be who He wants us to be. God, help me to forgive. God, don't have those people come and apologize so then I can forgive. But help me to forgive. You see, this morning you can have spiritual heart surgery. And it's amazing. Because that lady, that girl who is here today, who thinks because of your past you are damaged goods, that nobody can love you, that nobody can move past it. God is saying, let me change your heart. Let me give you a new heart this morning that takes that past completely away. For the man who might think that he's been struggling with a secret sin far too long, that he's been going behind closed doors to perpetrate this very specific and secret unknown sin for so long. To the person who's been in the church their whole life, but has never depended upon God for a new heart, will you accept his heart surgery this morning? Will you confess Him as Lord and Savior? Allow Him to cleanse you once and for all, instantly changing your sordid past into a glorious and holy future. If you need to confess Him, to be baptized, if you need to be restored, if you need to have your heart of stone replaced with a brand new heart of flesh, let us know. Come forward this morning. I'll be up front, pacing around, looking for anyone who would respond to heaven's call as together we stand and as we sing.